You got a NFC Defensive Player of the Week with Hardy. Talk about his performance last week.
You know, it's great. It's great for Greg. It's great for the defensive line. It's great for the defense, and it's great for the team. You know, it's a young man that's done a lot of good things. He's worked very hard. Who's, you know, who's done a lot of maturing in the last few years, and deservedly so. He was credited with NFC Defensive Player of the Week, and I'm excited for him because you know these are the type of things that when you start getting recognized for your performances, your play, you begin to realize that you know what, I do have that kind of ability. I am that good.
Wondering, I mean, his first game against Seattle, he played really well. They get the sacks. Are sacks, I don't say overrated, but I mean, they get the attention, they get the votes.
Yes, they do, but I also think it's about when they happen. Early in the game, I think those are important because they help set the tone and tempo for the game. Third down situations, critical situations. That to me, they're impact sacks. You know, we also grade our guys more on production than we do in terms of tackles and sacks. And by that I mean, you make a play, you get graded for it on its impact. If you do your job, there's no grade. So what we do is based on if you play 50 plays and you make 5 impact plays, that your grade is your production is 1 out of every 10. For a defensive lineman to be, for a defensive end to be 1 out of 10, that's okay. 1 out of 8, 1 out of 6, I believe Greg was 1 out of every 2.3, I think, is what his production was. So you go back and look at it, look at the impact that he had for the amount of plays. It was a pretty good number. It really was. And that's what we're trying to look at. And it's true for all of our defensive positions, you know. We had the young defensive backs, Lester and White, I believe, were right around 4 or 5. So for a defensive back to have 1 or 4, 1 out of every 4, 1 out of every 5, that was pretty impressive. Although Lester does play the strong safety position, he's going to have a little bit more productivity than, let's say, your free safety, who could be 1 out of every 20, 25 plays. You know, but I think, again, going back to what Greg did and his impact, it just shows. And you go back and look at the Seattle game, I think his production number is right about 1 out of every 4, 1 out of every 5. So he had good production numbers. He just didn't have the quote-unquote sack numbers.
What would you say is a typical production number for a defensive?
I'd say anywhere between 4 and 7. You know, if they're making some sort of – because, again, they could run away from you all day and you could end up with 1 out of 10 or something like that. And so, again, you got to really look not just at the numbers that you get, but what is his production number and why. You know, are they running away from him? Are they doubling him? You know, if he's getting doubled, then somebody else should be making plays.
Is a productive play even if you knife into the backfield and don't end up?
Without a doubt. If you influence or impact that play, you look at Starr's numbers, it's a little bit misleading because, again, one of the things that we got to look at is he may not have as many sacks, but how many times did he take up a double team? How many times did he absorb it and all of a sudden Luke's in the crease making a tackle or Thomas Davis is making a play? You know, those are the things that you always take into factors. Sometimes it's not just about Greg Hardy winning on the end, but it was because Starr and KK had great push up the middle, or Colin Cole gave great push up the middle. Now the quarterback can't step up. So, again, we'll note that's part of the impact play.
What's the ceiling for Greg?
Oh, well, I'm not going to quote like he did say 50, but he's got a high ceiling. He really does, and I think he's just beginning to scratch the surface. I think with what Eric Washington and Sammy Mills do with him, I think it's been outstanding. I think Charles Johnson has had a little bit of an impact on him as Dwan Edwards. I think there's a lot of guys that are in his corner that are doing the best they can to help him out. I know Sean McDermott really loves what he does for our defense. I know our defensive back coaches, Coach Wilkes and Coach Fuller, really love the young man because, again, it helps back there. There's a lot of people pulling for him because of what he means for us on our defense.
He said that he wanted to make sure he didn't get in any trouble over the bye. Is he one of the guys you worry about a little bit?
No, I mean, I think he's very misunderstood by a lot of people. He's a young man who at times is really trying to be the adult. You know, he's got a younger brother and sister that he takes care of. You know, not that he has to, but I mean, he watches over them because, you know, he's the older one. He's like the father figure. And, you know, at the same time, he wants to be a young man. And so he's a good young person that's got a great heart and he's got a lot of things that he tries to do the right way. And, sometimes it's just learning and maturing.
Edmund Kubla tweeted that he's in surgery or had surgery. What do you have surgery on?
His knee.
What was
in repair, what do you?
His knee. I mean, again, that would be a question better suited for Ryan. I know he had knee surgery, and that's why we put him on IR. It's, you know, I think it had a lot to do with obviously him coming back from the injury he had during mini camp, and then, you know, sustaining the hamstring injury, and then it's, you know, straining it again. And I think the big thing is that, you know, this was done obviously to help him along. You know, as far as, again, you know, you could have rehabbed him. We could have rehabbed him, put him on the 8-week IR, come back, and the doctors were a little bit concerned. So this was something that was decided in the best interest of the young man's career and his future with his football team.
You mentioned Melvin and Robert. How tight are those two guys? Obviously, they came in together, undrafted rookies. They roomed together. Just how close are they?
Well, I think they're developing that relationship, that friendship that you do. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I had the same travel roommate for 9 seasons when I was with the Bears. You know, and we're still friends today. And he comes to the games down here. And you know, I got a little saying. I got a picture of myself and Jim Morrissey, my teammate. And underneath the picture, it says, teammates last a career, but friends last a lifetime. And we have been friends ever since. So, you know, guys like Melvin and Robert and KK and Star, you know, guys that come in together can play a long time together and develop a friendship that a lot of people don't understand. And honestly, might not, because they don't go through the same things. And this is an opportunity, I think, for guys to develop those types of lasting bonds. And, you know, if we can get those kinds of relationships going here on this team with not just one or two guys, but, you know, 10, 12, 14 guys that develop and become our core for the next 4, 5, 6 years, who knows? Who knows what can happen here?
Do you want to elaborate on the one that D'Angelo was referring to yesterday?
The picture? There was a couple that were, you know, somebody is pasting different faces of players on funny caricatures, and they're just having a little bit of fun with each other. I saw a couple. They're kind of funny. They're, you know, spoofing one another. They're having a good time right now. And again, hopefully we can understand and realize what this feeling means, what it's like, and continue to get it.
Speaking of D'Angelo, he's putting up vintage D'Angelo Williams numbers, third in the NFL. And obviously those numbers weren't there last year, at least at the beginning of the season, this time of the season. What's the difference in D'Angelo this year compared to last?
Well, I think, again, a lot of it has to do with our approach, the way we've looked at things. You know, you go back and look at the second half of the season when D'Angelo was back in there. We changed the way we were going to do things offensively, and he became a big part of it. I think down the stretch of the last 6 games, I think he was as good as any running back in the league. And in fact, he finished very strong with the game against the Saints. This year, we picked up right where we left off, trying to make an impact with our running game. And in both those last 2 games, obviously, Seattle and Buffalo, he had an opportunity to rush for 100 yards. I mean, we were close. If we could handle the ball a little bit longer, in both those instances, he may have rushed for 100 yards. So I think a lot of it has to do with what we're doing, the way we're doing it. And Sunday it was a great indicator of how Cam's ability to run the ball and throw it is tied into D'Angelo's ability to run it.
What's he doing well right now, D'Angelo?
Oh, he's just hitting the ball. I mean, he's just hitting the hole hard. I mean, when he's going, he knows where he wants to go. He hits that crease. It's one cut, and then he lowers his shoulder and goes. He's not a lot of dancing. I mean, he's very decisive. He's got great vision right now. He knows when he needs to cut back, and honestly, he'll probably tell you he knows when he just got to take the loss. And I think that's important. When a running back is in a rhythm, who's got great vision at the time, he's going to see a crease, stick that foot in the ground, and go vertical. He's not going to go side to side. And that's some of the things that you see. A lot of his runs, you know, are not over here on this, hitting this crease and all of a sudden winding all the way back and then cutting again. It's, I'm over here, I see the crease, I'm downhill, and I go, and I take my 7, 8, 9 yards at a chunk, and if it becomes more great, that's what he's doing right now. And plus, got to give credit to the offensive line. The offensive line is really kind of rounded out in his shape. You know, this past week was the first time we started the same bunch. You know, so it was good, you know, starting with mini camp, training camp up to now, where we've had everybody healthy, that we're going to have.
Go ahead. I just wanted to ask you about Ted Ginn and what he's doing well, and just sort of that, you know, that's a weapon that, yes, that a lot of teams you'd think would love, and yet he's kind of bounced around a little bit.
He's been interesting because when we first got him, you know, we talked to him. I mean, Ricky talked to him very plain and blunt about, you know, what he needed to do. I know Mike gave him a vision of where we saw he could fit in for us. And I know Dave Gettleman and I sat down and talked about what the vision was for Ted, and that was a guy that could blow the top off the covers. And, you know, and it's funny because you sit there and you go, well, you know, that's a guy, you line him up wide, and you just say, hey, run as fast as you can. We'll throw it once in a while. In the meanwhile, we're opening up the deep digs and the deep in cuts. Well, with Ted, we found that it just wasn't just line him up and go. It was to run the deep digs, to run the deep comebacks. Because, again, you start, you know, you watch Teddy, he put his head down, corners are bailing. Pretty soon, the next thing is going to be the stops. You know, he's going to put his head down. He's going to, like, he's going at 20 yards. He's going to stick that foot in the ground, turn around, and come back, and Cam's going to deliver the ball at 18. I mean, those are the things that are starting to happen, and Teddy sees it. He sees the opportunity. And, you know, quite honestly, that, you know, and to Dominic's and Armani's detriment, when they both got hurt, the one guy that stood out and took advantage of it was Ted. And he started the next few games as our third receiver and really kind of established himself. And then obviously, you know, what he did in the Buffalo game and what he did last week is really kind of, you know, putting his mark on what he wants to be for us. He works hard at it. He's got a great attitude about things. I know it's funny because one of the first things he said was he wanted to be the best return guy he could be for us. And then as we've, you know, talked with him and we've given opportunities, he's come and said, hey, I really appreciate it. You know, nobody's given me this kind of chance. And which is kind of, you know, surprising to us, you know, because we're going, wow, this guy's been the consummate pro, and hopefully we continue to give him opportunities and he continues to take advantage.
You have a kicker with the leg strength of Gannon. Do you try not to reinvent the wheel on the kickoffs and just say,
without a doubt, without a doubt, right now, Joe, what we've done, especially with our kicker and punters, we just give them, hey, you know, Graham, we want you to kick it and just kick it far. You know, you get to Brad and say, Brad, you know, let's not try and angle this out of bounds, but let's aim to a point. Let's say, hey, you know, we want to kick it towards the right numbers. We want to kick it towards the left numbers. And that's it. Whether we're going right, left, or down the middle, it looks like both our punter and kicker are very relaxed right now. And, you know, Brad showed that he has the ability to flip the field. Graham shows he's got range, you know, and very accurate right now. So, again, we just want to continue to not overcoach those guys and just give them opportunities to do what they do best and just kick the ball away.
Coach, you have any plans for this bye week? Anything you're going to do?
I'm going to hang out, and that's it. No, because, you know, Stephanie and I are going to hang around. You know, we're checking the local calendars to see what's going on, and we're just going to, you know, kind of flop around the city and enjoy it. And this will be the first time, you know, we don't go back to L.A. because Courtney won't be playing any fall ball. They don't start till next week, so that's a little bit of a bummer. But it'll be nice to hang out.
And, I mean, players a lot of times get labeled that they're a return guy, and they don't get the chance, like you said, you're giving him. What happens when you're a coach and you see a guy, you know he can be a specialist return guy? Do you ever have that situation where you've labeled somebody? Or?
Yeah, you know, I've done it before, too, where, oh, he's a pass rush specialist, or he's just a nickel corner, or, you know, he's a box safety. And then all of a sudden you make a call and you sit there and you look, oh, he's in the post. And all of a sudden he makes a play. He goes, oh, well, I knew that all the time. You know, and again, one of the greatest examples of a guy that was labeled early in his career is Steve Smith. He was just a return guy. And the next thing you know, he's potentially could be having a Hall of Fame career. So I think, you know, you do have to be careful, you know, and especially a guy with that kind of speed. You know, you don't want to pigeonhole him and forget his abilities.
Ron, this is kind of obscure, but Byron Bell, how did he do last week?
He bounced back very well. He did. You know, it's funny. I got a text from Byron after we got back, and he apologized for what happened in Buffalo. He was really disappointed and down on himself. He and I talked during the week and said, hey, you know, let's move forward. Let's forget about the past. And he played well, and he and Jordan Gross graded out as the highest, and they both received game balls. You know, for our 402 yards of total offense, just under 200 yards of team rushing, and giving up no sacks. To come back and refocus yourself, rededicate, commit yourself, and hold a pretty good pass rush at bay, I thought those two guys played very, very well and were deservedly awarded game balls.
Got your game balls for that
one? LaFell, D'Angelo, and the two young rookies, Lester and White, and we gave one to the Kraken. Yeah, he did. He wanted to. They wanted him to give a speech afterwards, but I wouldn't let him. And then we really, you know, really thought about it. And then I gave the rest of the defensive line one. You know, 150 total yards of offense. You know, 6 quarterback sacks. I think we had 6 hurries and 4 quarterback hits as well. So, you know, they were right there. Were 16 impact plays. In fact, as a defensive unit, as a unit, the offensive line made a play, something like 0.94. Every 0.94 play, so less than every one play game, there was a defensive lineman involved in something. So, you know, again, that was pretty good production for the unit. Thought the unit played a very good football game. And, you know, we talked about it, and they said, well, let's give one to him. I kept thinking about it. KK played a heck of a game. Star Plus was outstanding. You know, Charles Johnson didn't get the credit he deserved. And then I thought Wes Horton get his first opportunity. He made a couple of impact plays with his pass rush. I thought Mario Addison helped contribute to one of the sacks by forcing the quarterback to step up into KK, I think it was. You know, we had, you know, Sione plug in the middle and again, pushing the pocket, not letting the quarterback step up. So a lot of guys did a lot of good things. But that unit, when we needed them to come through and help us, they really did.
Star was talking in the locker room the last couple of days about how you guys gave him the chance when a lot of things or where in the heart.
Well,
did you ever have any, or do you guys have any kind of reservation at all?
You know, you do, but we did our homework. You know, our doctors got involved, obviously, and did the rechecks and did the phone calls and looked at all the stuff that they needed to look at, and were very confident and comfortable with the situation, set of circumstances. And at the recheck, everything was fine 100%. You know, and it was one of those that if you didn't know anything about it, you would have never known it, that there was something came up. The thing that was really impressive, though, was his workout. It was a very average workout because he wasn't in shape. And as we really looked at the tape and studied it, you said, okay, big deal. You put on the game tape and you watch him just basically get after USC. You know, you watch him basically get after teams that were solid football teams and win. He won. I know that, you know, his team didn't play as well as you like, but he won. And that's what was impressive, was when you put the tape on, you can't hide from the tape. And that was what we saw. We saw that on tape. The young man, you know, dominated a team like USC, played well against some of the other Pac-12 teams. So I think that's what we were more impressed with than anything else.
I think there's some teams out there that wish they had not ignored that.
I think so. I really do. And you know, and it's true for a lot of positions. You know, you look at, you hear something, you see something, somebody says something. And, you know, next thing you know, nobody wants to touch the player with that pick. And a lot of good players get passed up because of those things. But, you know, in this business, you got to be right more than you're wrong, because if not, you're on the other side.
Is conditioning at the workout give you pause, or did you chalk that up to?
We chalked that up to inactivity. Again, you know, like I said, you know, you look at the tape and the game tapes, and it shows. I mean, for whatever reason, you know, we fall in love when guys are running around in shorts, you know, and you got to be careful. You really do. And, you know, the tape doesn't lie.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Heck yeah.